Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, it was one of history's most dramatic moments. The date was April 18th, 1521. A lone monk stood before the Imperial Council in the city of Worms, Germany, with a table to the side of him containing all of his writings and pamphlets. He called into question the authority of the papacy, and he objected to the practices of selling indulgences and insisted that sinners are saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, and not by works. Well, those who stood in opposition of Luther, they came back to him and demanded that church officials demanded that Luther would take back everything that he had written, admit that he was wrong, or else they would excommunicate him from the church and label him as an outlaw, someone, in other words, who could be put to death on the spot. So what do you think Luther did? Would he buckle under the pressure of the church hierarchy? Would he admit that he was wrong? No, Luther, after a lot of prayerful consideration, he said this: "Unless you can prove from the Bible that I have made wrong statements, I cannot and will not take back anything. My conscience is bound by the word of God. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." And the crowd went wild. No, that's not what happened. But that, my friends, marked a turning point in the history of the Christian church. And although we commemorate the Reformation on October 31st, the day that Martin Luther famously posted those 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg, at that point in Martin Luther's life, he was really just a German monk who was simply asking questions about faith. But 4.5 years later, in 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther took an open stand against the church for the sake of the truth, and he was willing to be burned at the stake for it. Martin Luther knew how dangerous his writings and his actions were, and yet Luther never flinched. Why not? Because he was convinced of the truth. You see, he had something that the vast majority of the people at that time did not have. He had access to the Word of God. Because Luther, unlike many others, could read the Bible for himself. And the story has it that Luther was reading through the book of Romans, specifically Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and what Luther discovered was that sinners are saved by Christ's righteousness, not by their own effort, not by their good works, not by anything else. That this righteousness, being right with God, comes through faith in Christ. Luther found freedom in Jesus, freedom from the guilt of his sin, freedom from death, freedom from eternal punishment. That's what Luther knew, that true freedom is knowing that Christ came to reconcile sinners, to save sinners who cannot save themselves. This is the truth that will set you free. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about. That Christ came to rescue helpless sinners by giving them his righteousness. That's what true freedom looks like. And I think we have a hard time wrestling with true freedom because in America we have such a flawed view of freedom. We think freedom means that we have the right to live however we want, regardless of how that makes other people feel or think. Our society suggests that we have the right to define what marriage is for ourselves. It's a society that says that women are allowed to make decisions about unborn babies, and they call that freedom, right? We are free to speak whatever we want, even if it's not the truth at all, even if our conscience tells us that it's not true, let alone God's word saying it's not true. That's the kind of freedom that we see in our country, isn't it? But it's no true freedom at all. In fact, God calls that slavery. Now, to be sure, there are good kinds of freedom, like the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. But what the devil does is that old evil foe, that liar, he takes freedom and he tempts us with it. He tempts us to use our freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Right? What does that look like? You are free when you go home today to put whatever you want on Netflix or on the TV, and the devil will tempt you to use your freedom to click the remote to something that's ungodly. We are free when we go to drive in the car to drive to a liquor store and buy as much alcohol as we want, and we can use that freedom to get drunk. Right? I'm free to speak. Right? I have the freedom of speech, and so I'll just use my freedom to trash my friend's reputation. And the whole time we think that our freedom is a good thing, but we only prove that our freedom is in fact imprisonment. We are enslaved by sin, shackled by shame, handcuffed by our sinful desires. That's the truth that Luther recognized at the Reformation. That we are enslaved by sin. And so the question that he wrestles with is, how do we break free from sin's chains? And I will suggest to you that Luther and others try two things. The first thing is to attempt to work out your freedom by yourself. Sometimes that looks like saying, you know, I'm just going to be a better husband this week, or a better father, or a better employee, or a better friend. Other days it looks like trying to outweigh the bad things that you've done with other good things, to help more than you ignore people, to come to church more than you skip church, to be a nice guy more than you are a jerk. Right? This idea is trying to earn your way to righteousness. And Luther realized that he tried that himself, and it didn't work. Right? He gave up this promising career in law to become a monk. And then Luther gave away all of his possessions. Remember, he sold everything. He slept on a cold stone floor in an unheated cell. He became a priest. He attended confession 7 times a week, and he prayed 7 times a day. And Luther did all of this in vain, trying to free his conscience from the guilt of his sin and to free his soul from slavery to sin. But really, none of it worked, and Luther actually became a slave to the law. That's when Luther looked back on his life as a former monk, and he wrote this. Direct quote from Luther. I saw many who tried with great effort and the best of intentions to do everything possible to appease their conscience. They wore hair shirts, they fasted, they prayed, they tormented and wore out their bodies so severely that even if they had been made of iron, they would have been crushed. And yet, the more they labored, the greater their terrors became. Especially when the hour of death was imminent, they became so fearful that I have seen many murderers facing execution die more confidently than these men who had lived their lives as a saint. Do you see what Luther discovered? He found out that attempting to work out your salvation is only slavery to sin. Whether you do that by fasting or giving or working or cleaning, it's a slavery to God's law. A slavery that never leads to freedom. That's the first thing that people work out, and it never works. The second path is one of denial. Did you hear what those Jews said when Jesus confronted them in the gospel today from John? the Jews who had this history of being slaves, right? Think about their time back in Egypt and then in Babylon. And then now, present day, when Jesus was talking to them, slaves under Rome. It was undeniable. They weren't free. And yet, what was their claim? They said, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?" They were in denial, weren't they? They thought, "We can't be slaves. We're Abraham's children. We've got the right blood flowing in our veins. So, you know, God's going to have to give us a pass, right?" And sadly, these Jews forgot that even their forefathers, they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and many of them died there as punishment. God is much more concerned about our hearts than he is about our heritage. And that's why on a day like today, here in church, we turn our celebration of the Reformation, we shouldn't turn it into like this Lutheran pep rally, where we say, "We're the sons of Luther," right? And we're Wells, like, you know, the good kind of Lutherans, right? No, that would be wrong. That would be missing the point. We'd be just like those Jews who relied on their heritage as God's chosen people, and they thought they would be saved just because of their bloodline. No, that's not the truth. That's not how we're saved, right? The truth is, it doesn't matter if we've been born, raised, confirmed Lutheran. If we give up the truth of God's word, then we're nothing at all. We are set free by the Son, by Jesus, not by our heritage. It's the heart of faith inside that clings to Jesus. That truth sets us free. Jesus has a lot about freedom. He's connected to freedom. He speaks a lot about freedom. The most important thing, of course, is that Jesus earned our freedom for us by taking on sin's punishment on his shoulders, suffering on the cross. Jesus destroyed the power of sin. So Jesus procured freedom for everyone, and that's what Jesus proclaimed to the world. He echoes his words from the Father in Isaiah, that God has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You come to the Father through me. That's freedom. And did you catch how Jesus wants his followers to feel about this freedom? He said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." He wants us to be confident in Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone. That's it. Christ is all sufficient for you. You really are free from sin. You truly are free from guilt. You actually will be free from eternal punishment, because the Son has set you free. So then the question that's the only question left before we go home today is this: what will we do with the freedom that Jesus has given to us? Sola Scriptura is the one answer. We hold to the Reformation Creed, Sola Scriptura, which means Scripture alone. That's what we need. Just like I told the kids earlier this morning, should we hold to green eggs and ham or to God's word? Cling to God's word, the truth that sets you free. Let's say this passage together. How about it? "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Friends, hold on to Jesus' teaching. Treasure his doctrine. Take every opportunity to read and hear his word, because it's through that word, through Jesus' promise, that we are set free. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.